Welcome back, listeners. Hoping to keep up on the podcast episode since music is back in full swing. I got to see goth rock band Poised in the Darkness perform at Thumbprint Art Gallery, and I'm lucky to have been able to interview these creators, Blanca and Jess. Loved hearing their approach to songwriting and their innovative approach to bring all art together. I hope you'll enjoy this episode. And if you are a band and you'd like to come on my show, message me at my Instagram, The Local Treble Clef, and we can set something up. But for now, here's Poised in the Darkness. Welcome everyone back to The Local Treble Clef. My name is Maylee, and we are interviewing Poised in the Darkness today. And this, go ahead and introduce yourselves. These are the, you're the lead of this band, correct?
We started Poison in the Darkness in 2019 with a show at the Casbah, and that went great. But a few months later, we had to cancel the second half of 2020 due to the pandemic. So we only got to play 3 shows total. And then one of our bandmates moved to LA, another one had a baby. So a lot was happening during that time. And we put our band on pause until late 2021 when we played at Thumbprint Gallery, and we resumed again this year.
Oh, okay. And go ahead, and you're Jess and Blanca.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you two married?
We are.
Okay, so you're a married couple and you have a band. That could cause for some challenges. I have some questions about that, and we'll get into that a little later. So you formed it in 2019, and then of course, you know, like all of us, I mean, I even started this podcast in 2019, and like everyone else, it's like you start to get a groove and the pandemic happened, and it's like, and especially with music, because I feel like between the beauty industry and the music industry, those are the ones that got the shaft, like the worst during the pandemic. And there are just no shows to go to. And, you know, of course, everyone was scared. We didn't know what was going on and no one wanted to go indoors and stuff. So, yeah. So that's had to have been really challenging for you as a band. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like you said you lost some bandmates. So then you couldn't even... Could you be creative during 2020 while it was shut down?
You know, we probably weren't as creative as I would like to be. I was doing a lot of writing, and I think just the pandemic and everything being shut down didn't do wonders for my creativity, but there was some degree of creativity and but recently it's been crazy how much we've been coming up with.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So how did you get started? How did you decide you wanted to start Poised in the Darkness? Were you both in bands, different bands before? And then you kind of were like, you know what, why don't we do something together?
Oh, go ahead.
So before Poised, I was in a band that I started called Dreams Made Flesh. And then before that, I was in another band for a long period of time, almost, well, I'd say about 15 years, named Ilya. And Jess was in a band about 10 years before we started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 10 years before we started. So we both had a music background, and every now and then he'd play his guitar and I would come up with a melody and a few basic lyrics. And that's when I suggested we try to do something together, and then formed the band with one of our coworkers, Brendan. And with a new friend, Steve, and also Sean. These were new friends of ours. And so, like I mentioned earlier, we had to put everything on pause because of the pandemic. Jess did some songwriting, and I shifted my focus to my business name, Art Unites. So that's where I poured much of my creative energy into. And when we had the opportunity to play at Thumbprint Gallery September 11th of 2021, that was just invigorating and exciting. And we started looking for new members. That's when we found Michael in early 2022. And shortly after, our friend, whom we met through Art Unites, Robert Rive, joined around March or so of this year. And since then, we've been writing songs, or at least coming up with ideas, almost on a weekly basis.
Oh, that's really cool. I actually have some questions about that. So, so how do you collaborate with, I mean, obviously you had music already. So if Robert, and it's Brendan, you said, is the, Brendan's the guitarist?
Michael.
Oh, Michael's the guitarist.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Michael's your guitarist now, and then Robert's your bassist. And so they had to come and obviously play music that you had already written, correct?
Correct.
And so now you're getting together and you're starting to collaborate. How do you come up with these? So I know that obviously there's going to be some, do you all come up with just the lyrics and then everyone kind of throws in some instruments, or how do you collaborate together with those things?
Usually it starts with a guitar riff or a bass riff, and it inspires either me or Blanca. And we start coming up with lyrics and a vocal melody, or sometimes we're both inspired at the same time and we just roll with it and see what we like. And sometimes we figure out how to make our parts go together or figure out to harmonize with one another. But that's generally where it starts, is with an instrumental part, although we've come up with vocal melodies too before any instrumentation has been written.
Yeah. And then do you kind of, like, do you already hear it in your heads? Like, you're like, okay, I want this sound from the guitar, you know, for this song, for these lyrics. Or do you kind of have them listen to the lyrics and then it's like, well, what can you add? Or is it a little bit of both?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, I think we have to tweak things on either side to make it sound just right.
Yeah. And how did you figure out, because I love the vocals, like when I love everything about it, actually, like it's that the music is just, it's real. The only way that I can kind of explain it is, I mean, I definitely could tell your musical influences, you know, I could tell that there's a little bit of Bauhaus in there, some Joy Division, you know, it's very, you know, our generation type of style of music. But do you use like a pedal for the vocals, or how do you get the vocals to kind of be like very reverb, but not, it's not like, you know, the echoey type of reverb. It's like really pretty.
We do use a reverb pedal.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I just love the way it sounds. It was just, it's so pretty. And I mean, I don't know if that's how you want to explain your music, but it's just the vocals. It's like, it's just real like that. I can't find a word to put to it, but I was just like, wow, this is good. I'm into this.
Well, in a few months, I hope you think it sounds better. We're definitely dialing in our sound. We have a playlist that's on Spotify specifically for Poison the Darkness, and that's what we call our map. So the new songs we come up with, we revert to that playlist as inspiration, and we try to write within that map. And if it falls way outside of it, then we move on to a new idea. So we always revert back to that map, songs that were curated with every detail in mind, the tones of guitars and amps, the pedals that were used, the vocal delivery. We analyzed every single piece of every song, and putting this playlist together, And that's helped us tremendously because we have this goal of writing about 30 minutes worth of material by the end of October. So with that tight schedule, we have to be very efficient with what we do. So we use that playlist as a reference, and we wrote a document titled The Poison in the Darkness Songwriting Approach, which was created by all of us collaboratively. And it's a process that we follow to figure out what stays and what gets set aside for potentially a later time. And it helps us to stay focused. And if there's something that we're questioning, we have ways to address that. If we feel we're getting stuck, which is almost never, we have ways to address that as well. So we've tried to think of every possible common scenario to mitigate time wasting, and it's helped us a lot.
That's really cool. That's very organized. And I mean, and that's rare for artists. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like artists are normally like, okay, this just came. I'm going to write it down on this post-it or whatever. Where's the post-it? But it's like, that's like really great that you, so it's a document.
Yes.
And then, so you all can go back and reference it and kind of like make notes and highlight things.
Well, so we have a shared Google Drive, and that is pretty organized as well. So we have everything neatly categorized. All of our ideas are categorized. The ideas in development are labeled a particular way. Mm-hmm. So access is really efficient. And then we have a folder specifically with documents such as the one I mentioned. We have the lyrics in there. We have our set list. So everything is accessible very easily and quickly. And it keeps us on track. It keeps the momentum going. And if there's any question, there's usually some answer in those documents.
That's amazing. That makes it very easy for your bandmates to also, yeah, because, you know, it's like you don't have time to get together every day and practice or rehearse, and the homework that everyone as a musician has to take home and do during the week. I mean, because sometimes it's like, what did they say? So that's really cool that you guys came up with that. And so being in a band together for the first time as a married couple, like, do you have challenges? Do you feel like you've learned more things about each other?
Definitely. Well, as Blanca mentioned, and by the way, a lot of that organization comes from her. She is amazing in every way. So, you know, for me, it was a huge honor to be in a band with Blanca. I mean, she has been in some really spectacular bands. And as she mentioned, it's been about 10 years before Poison in the Darkness that I had done anything really. And I just was feeling more and more inspired and started doing some writing and playing the guitar and the keys and recording vocal ideas. And we started collaborating a little bit, and Blanca said, why don't we do something together? And I said, that would be great. And that was kind of the foundation of the band. And for me, it's been not only an amazing learning experience, you know, gaining knowledge from anything Blanca could share with me, but also doing a lot of my own homework to perfect my delivery and craft. It's been great. I think that, you know, Blanca and I are so similar in so many ways that we usually agree on pretty much everything. So
that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I can't really think of any major bumps in the road that we've ever had. You know, sometimes I'll mess up on something and I'll get down on myself, but that's probably the biggest speed bump.
Yeah. And were you both already in bands before? Were you not in bands anymore when you decided to create Poison in the Darkness, or were you... was Poison in the Darkness kind of like another side project amongst the other bands that you were already in?
I was doing a little solo thing, whereas putting together just song ideas and, you know, just putting songs together and putting them on SoundCloud. That was about it. I wasn't really playing with anybody. I just wanted to write music and put songs together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for me, Dreams Made Flesh is still a project that is fluid, so I can pick it up whenever I feel like it. And it's a solo project where I invite friends to collaborate. And so the songs may or may not be in the post-punk or dark wave or goth rock vein. It can be anything really that we feel like doing. So that gives me that freedom and flexibility to do anything I'd like. The name Dreams Made Flesh came from a song by Dead Can Dance off of a compilation by This Mortal Coil. So that's where that came from, but the songs can be really any genre. And then Jez has his solo project as well, Little Sparrow. So again, we both have that flexibility, and it's nice knowing that in case something doesn't make it to Poison the Darkness.
Oh, that's really neat how you have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's... And we encourage our bandmates to look at it that way too. There is no song that has to completely go into the dark and never get played. Every song has an opportunity to be played, whether it's in our context or outside of it. But I would say for me, what I've learned in being in a band with Jess is just to be more humble, because for so long I was the lead vocalist for the different bands. I had never shared lead vocalist duties with anybody. And so it's been eye-opening for me. It's almost like being, and maybe I'm generalizing here, but being an only child, going from being an only child to suddenly having to share your toys. And it's a new experience. So I've been learning and getting better at taking a step back sometimes and just letting Jess shine, because it's very tempting to step in there and say, well, this is how it ought to be done, and this is what's worked for me for the past X number of years, and I know what I'm talking about, trust me.
You're like, give me that mic.
And so what happens then is I get the look, and that's enough for, you know, to take a few steps back. And so I'm learning and getting better at that and growing, and I don't mind it really. And also it's new for me because in a way I'm starting from scratch. And sometimes it's hard to do that when you've traveled across the US multiple times, traveled around the world doing music and experience just about all of it, from sleeping on floors to fancy places, playing to a handful of people and playing to thousands. So I've had a very rich experience that I feel blessed about, but now I feel like we're starting over in a sense, or I'm starting over. Yeah. And that's humbling too. And it's okay, because I'm doing it with my best friend, with the, you know, just the most special person in my life. And
that's so sweet.
So it's all worth it. Having to start over in some way is totally worth it.
How great. That's really inspiring. That's amazing. And it's nice that you two have that in common, because, you know, a lot of couples, I mean, me and my husband's not an artist, so there's no way I would probably like rip his eyeballs out and try to collaborate together with something artsy. So that's really great that you guys can do that. So with the songs, the themes of these songs, and Blanca, I noticed when you were performing, obviously some of these songs are deep for you because you were tearing up on some of them. And so with most of your songs, are they about, you know, past things or personal things? Like, what is the themes of these songs?
Mm-hmm. At least for the songs I write, and I think even that we share in common, Jess and I, they're songs of sadness. For me, sometimes my anger is expressed in my lyrics, and anxiety is expressed in my lyrics. But that day that you saw us at Thumbprint, that was an emotionally difficult day for me. It was a very, and I won't go into details, but it was an emotionally rough day for me. And I came into the event with positive intentions and a positive outlook, but singing some of the songs just triggered all, it was just like opening up a gate of emotions. And I wasn't expecting that. I really was not expecting that. And it was tough to get through some of the songs.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what songwriting is all about, right? I mean, it's the catharticism of getting whatever emotion was out at that time of writing that song. Yeah, and you relive some of those moments, or it does bring out some of those emotions. I wrote music, you know, back in my 20s after my first divorce. And I remember I wrote this song about the woman that my husband left me for. Mm-hmm. And I remember I could not get through any performance of that song without crying. And, you know, and it's like, it's these, yeah, the writing music is definitely, it's supposed to be that way. It's, you know, and I think it's neat when the audience feels that or sees that, that you still care about what you wrote about, or, you know, that they can get out of it what you were putting out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I definitely, you know, just because I do this podcast, I pay attention to everything, and I like, you know, all the details and hear all the different things in the music just as a whole, because, you know, that's part of music journalism. But I mean, I was really like, I loved the whole visual of everything and just the sound, and then watching you perform, and, you know, and performance is a huge thing too. And it was just really neat. It's really neat to see you two together. And the sounds that the vocals and everything. So
Thank you.
What's like, so going into that, what's an expectation that you both would say that you would want from your audience, out of your music?
Well, for me, I just hope that they can hear it and take something away from it. You know, it's hard to say, oh, I want them to love our band. I want to have them follow us around. And, you know, for me, if I can sing, or if our songs touch somebody or make somebody feel something, that's probably the most important thing to me. You know, if you can move somebody, then you did a good job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if people listen to your music and they don't feel anything, then you didn't do a good job. At least that's my feel on it.
Yeah.
So that's the first and foremost is, you know, whether it was my intended feeling getting across, that's not really that important to me. But if they feel something, that is.
Mm-hmm. And for me, my hope is, well, I guess it's twofold. One is that people will actually stop and listen. And not just to our artistry, but just in general, to stop and listen and observe whatever art form it is, whether it's dance or whether it's visual art or literature, just to stop and really listen and take everything in slowly. So that's the first part, is just to listen deeply, and then, which almost never happens at bars.
Right.
which is why I like to explore playing private shows and museums and galleries and alternative spaces. For that very reason, they lend themselves better to deep listening. So that's one. The second is I hope to inspire listeners to go home and do something creative, whether it's playing an instrument or making a drawing, whatever it is, but for them to explore doing what they enjoy. Maybe it's cooking and unrelated to music, but if it inspires that kind of feeling, I'll be very pleased.
Mm-hmm. That's really an interesting out. Like, that's amazing that, yeah, you just want someone to take any sort of art form from your music. And, you know, I mean, I just, that's why I love interviewing bands, because everyone has such a different take on, you know, similar questions that I ask about stuff like this. And I love hearing everyone's differences, because we're all creatives and, you know, art is its own thing. So yeah, it's limited to what the person's going to take from it. You know, like one thing can mean one thing to someone and something totally different to somebody else. So that's really amazing that you're just like, however it's going to inspire you, take it and go home and use it. And I mean, quite frankly, it's like, things out there in general that does that to a lot of people, right? That's how people start doing some sort of passion work. Or like, you know, I mean, I would never do this, but one of my best friends and I went to go see O at the Bellagio, the Cirque du Soleil show. And we were just amazed at everything. And like the trapeze, there was these two ladies doing a trapeze and we were like, oh my God, we could totally do that. Like, even though we couldn't, but it was like, we're gonna join circus. Like, it inspired us to be circus performers. But yeah, I mean, it's I love that outtake that you just spoke about with that. And then, so how did you find your bandmates? How did you find Robert and Michael?
Mm-hmm. So I put ads on our Instagram and on Facebook, I think even Craigslist. And Michael told us that he found us through Craigslist, which was a surprise to me. I thought he found us through the Instagram, but I guess it was Craigslist. And that was a huge surprise, because we haven't had the best luck with Craigslist in the past. We've had musicians respond that didn't even have their instruments or a vehicle to get to practice.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big challenge. But Michael not only had a vehicle and great equipment, but he is super talented.
He is. I was like, whoa, on his guitar skills. He was shredding and bending strings. And I was like, wow.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a wow musician who gets here, if not on time, early to practices.
That's rare for a musician.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he is proactive. He writes song parts during the week. He asks questions. He is flexible. I mean, I'm just thinking he's like a dream bandmate.
Yeah.
Enough good things about Michael. He's truly great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And that is just so rare to have. I mean, he's obviously dedicated, and that's amazing for you both, because how often do you find someone like that?
It's a rarity. So we treasure him, and we also treasure Robert. Absolutely. And so how it happened with Robert is, first of all, we met through a mutual friend, Zane, and at a show where Robert was playing his accordion, and he really stood out to me when he started playing something by Depeche Mode. I'd never heard someone play new wave, or, you know, whatever category you choose, on accordion. And so I approached him afterward and was introduced by Zane, and I asked him if he would like to play at one of my business's upcoming events, so an Art Unites event. And he and his band played about a week or two later after that invite. They were on time. They were great all around. And so I knew he was a reliable friend and very talented on stage. I love his presence. I love his ideas and everything that he's about. So we stayed friends. I think that was around 2017. And then earlier this year, I said, would you like to be a guest musician at one of our upcoming shows and play bass since we are lacking that? And he said, sure, I'll do that. And then we invited him to another event. And then the band longer term. And he said, and he committed to 1 year. We'll see what happens after because, as you know, he's a vocalist in his own
band.
And that is a huge commitment as well. He's playing with people who are from outside of the county.
Mm-hmm.
So that presents, some challenges, which they embrace very positively, but it does require a big commitment, and we understand. So we're thankful for any length of time that we can write music with him. And he is like Michael in that he has ideas prepared. He's flexible. He's easygoing. He is very supportive of Jess and I. We couldn't ask for more from either of them.
So, Robert is, when I first interviewed the Writhers, I could just tell right away that he is an artist, like a true, true artist. I definitely, and that's how I met you guys. Cause he joined the band and he was like, you have to come see us. And I'm glad I did, because it's way different from his band's music. So that's really cool that he can be versatile in two different bands. So that's neat that you guys kind of, that's also funny that he's like, okay, well, I'll sign like a year lease.
And we are so grateful for it. He's been awesome.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about that is I brought it up recently. It was just he and I having this conversation. I said, well, after your 1 year and then I finished my sentence, and he said, well, I only said that, I said maybe a year, but it could be longer.
He's like, I'll renew the lease.
So that was hopeful.
So what is it? So your previous bands, were you mostly like a San Diego local bass? And then, what's it like being, obviously, Blanca, you said you traveled. So did you start out in San Diego and then all musicians want to be like start to tour and go and share their music elsewhere. But have you always been San Diego based?
Always San Diego based, but that band I mentioned earlier, Ilya, had the opportunity to travel across the U.S., literally from here to New York, as far north as Vermont, and Florida, even obscure places, well, for us, like Wyoming, which is really beautiful, by the way, and Colorado, really every major city and non-major city. And we also performed throughout Canada, Japan, Mexico. And that was eye-opening too, because even just across the U.S., the landscape is so different. It's beautiful everywhere, but just different across states. People talk a little bit differently. They eat different foods. They dress differently. Their values are a little bit different. And for me, it was neat to just be an observer and take it all in and appreciate it. and appreciate the hospitality. That was one thing that will always be memorable to me, is the hospitality of people anywhere from here to Japan. And they treated us, especially in the Midwest, and especially in Japan, I would say, we were treated like royalty.
That's really neat. You're a real good observer, and like you take it all in, and the details that you remember are amazing. Like just the fact that you mentioned all those different nuances of all the different states that you've gone to. I mean, I don't know very many people that would remember that much detail of, like, I guess the culture. It's more like you're learning about the culture. So how about you, Jess? Were you always just San Diego based? How do you feel about I feel like the local San Diego community of musicians is really cool. It's a small world, so to speak, like they always say, but there's so many different genres of music. So it's like, how do you like being part of the San Diego scene as a musician?
So to your first question, I originally started in a band up in Oregon.
Okay.
We used to live up there for about 4 years. And we didn't ever really play outside of Oregon, mostly smaller places, but it was a lot of fun, made a lot of friends, and just got to travel around Oregon. One little show we did, we got to meet Everclear before they got really famous, and they were super nice. It was like a little coffee shop show we did. So that was like probably one of the more famous people we met, but it was a lot of fun. And then I moved back to San Diego, and a friend of mine and I started a punk band in East County and just did pretty much just house shows.
Yeah.
And just wanted to have fun and hang out with friends. And, you know, I guess like any young 20-something-year-old just wanted to play loud music and act silly.
What kind of punk was it? Was it like your typical three-piece punk band, or was it?
For a while, it was just he and I. He was on drums, and I played guitar and sang. And later, we had a friend playing the bass.
Okay.
And it eventually became the standard three-piece. But you know, none of our songs were, I don't know that we even had one song that was even a minute long, so they were warm. Very short songs, but very loud and badly played. But it was a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And as far as San Diego goes, you're absolutely right. There are so many amazing musicians here, you know, from hip hop to our style of music being more darker music, alternative, funk, country, you name it, it's here.
Yes. And,
you know, it is a small community, but as we've done Art Unites and put on various shows, it's really been amazing to meet all these different communities, because that's one thing I've seen is that, you know, if you play hip hop, you may not talk to somebody who's playing indie rock.
Mm-hmm.
But through our shows, we have tried to and have enjoyed bringing people from different genres together and seeing collaborations come out from it, and just really have grown our network of artists we know and are friends with or have collaborated with. So it's really a rich community. And you know, I enjoy anything that helps that community to grow.
Of course, yeah. And I feel like a lot of people are very supportive for each other here in San Diego as musicians. Just, you know, through observation, because I'll go to all these shows and then I'll see other bands that I have seen or interviewed, and they're there, and, you know, and they're friends, and or mm-hmm. someone's celebrating a birthday. And it's really, really cool. Let's talk a little bit about the Art Unites thing, because you've mentioned it a few times and I didn't even put these in my show notes, but what is it?
Mm-hmm. So before the pandemic, Art Unites was best known for hosting interdisciplinary art events throughout San Diego. And as Jess mentioned, we were covering diverse genre. So it wasn't just the genre we play, for example, but it was genres like hip hop, which I was less familiar with, and electronic music and all sorts of music, different disciplines in the arts. And so that really opened my eyes and helped me to step outside of my comfort zone. I used to primarily spend time with friends who played dark music or maybe even dream pop, but I didn't explore too much else. But through Art Unites, which was started in 2017, amid the division from the presidential election, I put together an event titled Art Unites to bring all of my friends together and spread a message of respect for all. That was the most important. And we donated our proceeds to a local music program for kids. And it went so well that I decided to do a similar event a few more times before turning it into a for-profit business, merging my love of business and my love of the arts. And so that's been very influential to both of us. It's introduced us to many different communities of different disciplines, different types, or different genres, I should say. And I've had the opportunity to collaborate with musicians outside of my immediate genre. That's been a challenge, but it's been a fun challenge. It's helped me to see that, okay, it's not as easy as I thought it might be.
Yeah.
I have to be a little bit flexible and work within what they're sharing with me. And likewise, they're working with my vocals and my style of melody. So that's really neat. And I recommend it to everybody out there to try something new, try something different, explore a new genre, see what you think. You might like it more than you would have guessed.
That's really neat.
And to add a little bit to that, the shows weren't just music. We had visual artists. Sometimes there would be dance artists, there would be poetry. We always try to tie in an element of education, as that's really important to us. So, you know, like having business, like a business seminar for artists, like how do you make money from your art? And
how
do you, and these were all just educational services that we wanted to offer to the art community. You know, all of it thought up by and spearheaded by Blanca. But it's been really fun, you know, just from any type of art form you can think of, almost even jewelry making or, you know, fashion. We've worked with so many different people just in the art community in general and brought them all together for these shows.
How amazing. That's really, like, that's very innovative. You know, and I'm sure everyone involved appreciates that because, yeah, you don't think about it that way where it's all art. And I mean, like it, the name of it, Art Unites. And so, yeah, so it's not just hosting musicians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're letting everyone explore their talents and show their talents. That's really cool. We're going to have to go to one of your events.
So speaking of that, I'm trying to take a step back from the event planning just because now Poison in the Darkness has become more busy.
Uh-huh.
And plus, I've been doing events since 2017. We were doing events almost one or two events per month. So
that's a lot of work.
It definitely takes a lot of energy, and mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for every moment of that, but I'm just in a different place, and I'd like to leverage the connections we made, the communities we built, and get into the sale of products and services through Art Unites with branding that we have on Instagram and leverage all of those, well, it's really not that many years, but the few years that it feels long, the years that we invested and worked really hard for many hours use that in moving forward in a different way, but still what will always stay the same is supporting fellow artists.
Wow, that's amazing. You guys are an amazing couple for the art community. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what kind of upcoming, so for Poison the Darkness, you have new music coming out, shows coming up. What's in the books?
We have a show on October 21st at a secret space. Those who RSVP will get the secret address. So that's October 21st. We have a show in the works for November. And actually, let me come back to the October 21st show. We're playing with our friends, Magical Animals, who are in the Dream Pop vein. They're a band that we've been wanting to play with for a long time. It didn't work out in July, but we're hoping to, not hoping, it's confirmed that we'll play in October. And then we have a show in the works for November. We have a confirmed date the end of the year. So basically the whole year is planned. And we have another interview coming up. So, and we have a photography session coming up as well. So we're doing what we can in the time and the space that we have. We have two kids. We have a 15-year-old who shares our love for post-punk music. Uh-huh. We have...
And it's a very talented bassist.
Yeah, she's playing the bass and would like to play with us as a guest eventually.
Robert, look out.
Oh, in fact, Robert uses her amp for practice.
So, and she said it's cool. He's a fellow bassist.
So we have that, and then we have our younger one who is full of energy, also talented in music. She's a vocalist and keyboardist and plays guitar and a little bit of drums. So it's a very musical family. My dad has been singing most of his life. My sister and my brother both sing. So family is first to us, and that's what I mean by saying in the time and space that we have available, we're trying to make the most of it, but family definitely comes first.
Yeah, that's really neat. And so do you have is your music available on Spotify or SoundCloud or Bandcamp? Where can people listen to your music?
Mm-hmm. Right now, only pieces of our music are available through Instagram because we're fairly new as this lineup, but there will be an album released for a live session in October, actually.
Okay. Well, that will be neat. So then everyone could listen to, I would love to listen to your music in some headphones and just kind of veg out, because that's, you know, it would be amazing to just hear that all in your head. I mean, live is amazing. Of course, live music is always the best, but but it is nice to be able to, you know, listen to it at home as well. Mm-hmm. So before I let you two go, I always have like those fun questions to ask. And since you're a couple, we'll go ahead and ask these questions. So who would you say is the introvert and the extrovert? I'm sure you're both introverted, because most musicians are, but who's the introvert and who's the extrovert?
Let you answer.
He's the extrovert.
Blanca's the extrovert.
Yeah. More, much more so than I am.
Yeah.
Getting better about it, but yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't always this way. I was painfully shy as a child. And I was shy probably until I graduated from college. And even then, it took me some time to gain enough confidence to approach people. And it, at some point, I just stopped worrying about what other people thought of me or about being perfect or about silly things. And now I just find everyone fascinating. Everyone has their own story. Everyone has their special life experiences and something to share with others. And that's how I view everyone, with curiosity and respect. And so there's really nothing to be afraid of for me.
Yeah. And that's, people like you are really cool to talk to, because then that means you're like very present, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like that too, because I'm curious about everything. So it's like, I want to know. Yeah. And then sometimes people are like, you know, then they get shy from you, because then it's like, it's too much. But I'm also from LA. So I'm like, oh, let's go meet this person. It's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, come on, let's just go. We'll just go up to them. Mm-hmm. But I am an introvert in a way, though. It's weird, because it's like, I'll go up to what I want. Like, I'll come and get it. But it's like, with other things, I'm kind of like, no, just don't look at me. I'm not here. So who would you say is the most high maintenance and low maintenance out of you both?
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. So let's just say that I've been known to say to Jess, oh, comfort is overrated. I'd rather sit in a beautiful artistic chair that is uncomfortable for hours than a very comfortable, ugly chair for hours, because I love chairs, by the way. I used to collect them. And so that should give some insight into who's a little more practical and lower maintenance and higher maintenance and less practical.
So you basically, like, that reminds me of Beetlejuice. It's like those chairs in their house after they decorate it, and they're just like forms of art, which eventually start attacking everyone. But
that hasn't happened yet.
Who is the saver and who's the spender?
I do like to say it.
There's always.
I wouldn't say either one of us are tremendous spenders, you know, but I definitely lean towards saving.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, with couples, it's like, there's always, you know, it's nice if you could be on the same page, but I don't know. My husband and I are just so opposite. I always feel like I always tell him, like, it's like, you just like think you have cash. You just like throw it in the air.
Making it rain.
Yep. It's like, I hope that's Monopoly money, because... So, well, thank you for taking the time and letting me interview you. And I really enjoyed your show, and I can't wait to see more shows and see what you guys come up with. I know you're making new music, and, you know, we'll definitely post that on my podcast page when you're ready to have some shows, and we'll promote it. And
thank you.
Yeah, so we can find Poison in the Darkness on Instagram. And are you on Facebook as well, or just Instagram mm-hmm. right now?
On
Facebook
both.
As well? Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other platforms?
No, Instagram is probably our hangout, you could say. That's where get messages. That's where we can get booked. It's a very practical spot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's great. And yeah, thanks again for letting me interview you. And everyone that's listening, thank you for listening. I hope that you go, if you're local here in San Diego listening to this podcast, go to see Poison in the Darkness, and you can find out more info on their Instagram page. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram as well at the Local Treble Clef. And you can listen to the podcast on anchor.fm. on iTunes and Spotify, and I will always post the links in my bio for my podcast in my IG.